one time we went to Reno.
Uh-huh.
We went there for a weekend and helped him out, you know, in Reno.
Well, when you say you helped him out, what in fact were you doing?
Well, you know, I would dress him, you know, and I would shop for him, get him clothes, lay out his clothes. I would, you know, attend to his, you know, maintenance needs. You know, his hair, his nails. I would give him a manicure. I would give him a pedicure. I would, you know, exfoliate him.
What was that?
It's when you have a specially made sponge and some kind of gel, depending on what kind of gel he likes. He likes a peach, mango, scrub, and then you rub it on him, and it exfoliates, takes off the dead skin cells, and then you know, it just allows the pores to breathe a little easier.
So how would you describe your role? I mean, were you his manservant, or...
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I was his man friend, you know, his confidant, you know, who would help him out because I have an eye for detail. And I would help him with his appointments and bring in the dinner, you know, I'd order his dinner and then bring it to him. And I would feed him. I would put a napkin around his neck so that he wouldn't spill anything. And then he would sit in bed, and I would feed him in bed.
Do you think that you saw a side of O.J. that that most of us did not see? And was the...
Absolutely.
The O.J. that you knew was not the O.J. that we see on television, I take it?
No, because the media is making him out to be some kind of monster.
No, I'm talking about before this happened. I'm talking about the O.J. we saw commentating on games and... The O.J. that
I think it was very, you know, personable. He had a warm personality, you know, which came across. But I saw like a tender side, or almost, you know, he was in touch with his feminine side a little bit too, you know, which I got to see, which is not bad, you know.
Well, what do you mean it's not bad? You sound almost defensive when you say that.
Well, because some people are going to listen to that and say, "Oh, what are you saying?" What are you saying about O.J., you know? Because you know what people are going to think. So I'm just saying it's not bad. It's a warm quality.
I believe there was an article in the Inquirer a number of years ago, or one of those newspapers, linking you romantically with O.J. The article stated that you had gone to a costume shop and you had...
Oh, yeah, that was a star.
That was a star.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you can just relate what the story was.
It was all blown out of proportion. They was trying to imply something silly was going on, you know what I mean by silly. And because I had rented all these costumes.
Yeah, and you brought them back to the hotel.
And brought them back to a hotel where we was going to store them before O.J. was going to be in a pageant. O.J. and I were going to be in a pageant.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to rehearse for the pageant in the hotel room, which required different costumes, you know. They was all trying to make it like it was a sexual thing. What's a crime? What's wrong with a photograph of O.J. Simpson, who was in the midst of changing into his bathrobe because he was going to take a bath? He was in the middle of changing, and I was trying on the Batgirl costume. What's wrong with that? Now I was the Catwoman. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I was trying to see if it fit, if I needed to take it back. And he was in the middle, was about to put on his bathrobe. So that's all you saw. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing silly.
And the other photograph, which appeared to be O.J. and you dancing in a rather close embrace in the hotel room again, what was that about?
Well, what happened was he had a sore shoulder and a sore, and I mean this in all respect, he had sore buttocks because we had rented mopeds, and the mopeds wasn't working properly, so I was massaging his shoulder and his buttock, and that's all you're seeing. That's all you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Is because I'm a trained professional massager, and that's what I do, too, for him, you know, because there's nothing wrong with getting a massage.
But that was,
as far as I know, it's not illegal to give a man a massage.
No, but the thing that was peculiar about it, and certainly intriguing, was the fact that you were facing him and pressed against him with your arms around his back, holding onto his butt.
Well, it's an Oriental method. It's an Asian method to have the person who needs the massage stand up. The thing about being on your stomach, you know, or laying flat on a board for a massage, that's a fallacy. You know, that's the wrong way to do it. People do that are doing it wrong. You see, because the right way to do it is to stand the man up, stand your partner up, and then do it that way. And that's why I was doing it. It's an Asian technique.
Well, why don't you stand behind him while you're massaging his buttocks? Why do you actually have your arms around him and holding him fast to you and massaging him, his buttocks that way? I mean, is there...
Because this way I can communicate with him better. If I'm behind him and I say, how does this feel, OJ? And then I can't hear him so well because he's in front of me talking out, you know? This way I can communicate better.
Have you seen OJ since he's been incarcerated? Have you visited him in his prison cell?
They at the request of the defense team, I have not been to visit him. I have sent along some cards and letters. Also, I sent along some photographs of some of our special times together. I sent him a couple coloring books, okay, because he likes to color, and a lot of people think that's, again, they're going to make out that that's a silly thing, that's what a child does, but he likes to, you know, the man likes to color, so I gave him some coloring books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got him some sea monkeys, which he also enjoys, and also two videotapes, although I understand he's not allowed to have a videotape machine in his jail cell. So I don't know what he's doing with them. Maybe looking at them. They're just a box.
Do you have any idea of the state of mind of OJ at this time?
Well, he's very upset, but he's strong, you know? He's very strong, and he needs some comfort and love, and I hope he gets it.
Well, he certainly seems to be getting it in terms of the mail he's been receiving and thousands of letters of support from people all over the country. That must be reassuring to you.
Absolutely, because he knows, everybody knows that he's innocent.
Do you have any theories about who actually did commit this crime?
See, my theory is it was a double suicide.
Really?
And they was trying to frame, on their way out, they was trying to frame OJ to make him have a miserable life, you know, because things weren't going well for them. So it was a double suicide.
That is a very interesting theory, and that's one that I have never heard before. How did they manage to pull it off?
They blooded themselves, okay,
mm-hmm.
Then got blood on the glove and threw it over into the yard,
mm-hmm.
In the other one, then went and messed up his truck, his Jeep,
mm-hmm.
You know, got blood all up in it and all. And then went back to her place to do the final blow-by-blow killing procedures, which involved a knife that he had purchased earlier.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that they slashed themselves to death. Is that what that?
Uh-huh, that's right. How come nobody explored that possibility? That hasn't even been raised by the media. They didn't talk about that. Two white people trying to frame O.J. Simpson is what it could be, and I think it might have happened.
But look what they sacrificed, the two of them, in order to get O.J. I mean, that's quite...
They're very sick people, too, you know? Obviously, if they did this to themselves, they have a sickness.
Well, I can understand why Nicole might want to commit suicide, because she was involved directly with O.J. But why in the world would this young man want to kill himself?
Because he was in love with her and wanted to prove his love to her, and because he got paid to do it, too.
He got paid to do it?
Uh-huh.
He got paid to commit suicide.
That's part of my theory.
right, we're on the 405 driving north. We're in a Ford white Bronco, which we rented from Hertz. And I'm sitting in the back seat. Oh, hold it 1 second. I think somebody just glanced over at me with a sort of seems to be interested in the fact that I've got this gun pointed at my head. No, he looked away now. And my friend Ryan Catrona is up front driving. Ryan's been placing phone calls on the cellular phone here.
Well, I'm just going to be here. You know, why don't you come? Why don't you try to leave at 5:30, and then I'll get something over at Lucky's. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll just go out and get some tacos or something like that. I'm not doing anything really. I'm just going to stay home tonight. Tomorrow I've got to go to Hollywood early, so
maybe I'll
put the headlights on here. I think.
Oh yeah, that's right. Put the flashing lights on. Yeah, the flashing.
The flashing.
There.
Okay. Okay. I'll put the gun back to my head.
Take it over in the middle lane.
Okay, we're driving along. There's an Asian gentleman, and he has a crucifix on beads hanging from his mirror. And I have the Glock 9mm handgun pointed at my head. What kind of a car is that, Ryan?
That's a Ford Tempo GL.
Ford Tempo GL. He's driving along. We're now driving next to him. Okay, he looked over this way. Oh, he's backing away, and he's pulling off the side of the road because he's afraid of the gun. He thinks I'm going to shoot him. Ryan, why don't you make another call? Just call somebody, you know, anybody. It doesn't matter.
I'll call over to my agent.
Yo, Craig, Ryan, what's happening?
We are on the 405 going north, as I said. We're heading into Santa Monica. Ryan is talking to his agent.
Now we're coming into LA.
Yeah, Ryan's trying, in case the police are listening, he's giving them a point of where they can. I wonder if any radio stations are following this. Yeah, do you speak Spanish? Well, so we don't know if they're talking about us or not. Go to the next one.
To secure a 10% share of the blood for the defense's independent testing.
Jumps on top, runners at first and third.
Frederick Goldman refused to be a plaintiff in the action.
But overall, not a huge backup, but definitely a delay for you, so allow about an extra.
Well, it's obvious nobody's paying attention. Just turn it off.
Yeah, can I have the West Los Angeles police station, please, the phone number?
I don't think we should do that because they didn't call the police station.
I know, but
who would know to call us? I mean, how else are we going to get in touch with them?
No, I want to recreate this thing the way it really happened as much as we can. And they didn't call the police. I don't think we should.
Okay.
Right. I'll just keep the gun to my head, and we'll see whether anybody picks up on it. There's a Lexus, very nice.
This guy over here in the pickup.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Hey, do you know, up here on the 405, where you get off to Brentwood? Where did OJ get off the 405?
I don't know, man. I didn't see it. I don't know where he got off.
Did you see it on TV, though?
Yeah.
But you don't know where he got off on the...
No, I don't.
Okay. Hey, what's your first name? What's your first name?
Elder.
Elder. This is Joe. I'm Ryan. Elder, thanks a lot. What are you driving there?
A GMC.
A GMC?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Elder.
Nice shirt and hat.
Yeah, very nice. We are in the third lane from the left, one of the slower lanes. This is really a rather tedious trip when you think about it, the 405 going north.
How far is it worried, Jim.
Yeah, he sees the gun and he's pulling away. He doesn't want to talk anymore. We're following the route of O.J. Simpson and Al Cowlings. I have a Glock, Austrian manufactured 9mm handgun pointed at my head, pressed against my temple.
A big tractor trailer bared down on
him. Oh, really?
Blowing his horn.
He's a little ticked off. He hasn't got time for this in his schedule, you know? It's amazing, the indifference.
Okay, we're now coming up to Sunset Boulevard. We are going to be exiting any moment. And there's the Holiday Inn, that phallic Holiday Inn to the left, up ahead as we exit.
Well, so much for the freeway aspect of this thing.
Excuse me, sir. I was wondering if you can help me. Do you know which way it is to Brentwood?
Do I know which way it is to Brentwood?
Yeah.
Keep straight ahead.
Straight this way. Is that where OJ's?
I'm not quite sure what street he lives on. You know where Rockingdale is off of here?
Rocking.
This way?
OJ's house. Rockingham. Oh, great. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you want to go by OJ's house, huh?
Yeah, don't mind my friend in the back here.
Oh, you keep going up the hill here. And it's about three or four signals up. When you see Burlingame,
yeah.
Soon as you pass Burlingame, uh-huh. You'll be going down a little incline. And the first right is like a T and it comes off. And you want one side is left, one is right, so you want to make a right turn.
Okay. Is this the way Al Cowlings when he?
Yeah, this is the route they went. They got off here and went that way.
Right up that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Were you around here that day? Did you see them at all?
No, I didn't see them, but I just saw it on TV like everybody else was seeing.
Oh yeah.
See, one side of the street it'll say Rockingham,
right.
And the other side I said, "Bro, it's kind of tricky because you'll miss it if you don't be watching for it."
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, whatever you do, don't shoot yourself. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
We're now going to proceed down Sunset into the Brentwood district. Now, let me repeat that we're driving along Sunset Boulevard now. We drove up from El Toro on the 405. There are no helicopters circling above us. There is no phalanx of police cars behind us. There seems to be very little interest in the fact that I might kill myself at any moment. My friend Ryan Catrona is driving the vehicle. He's been placing calls here and there to whomever he can think of to call.
Hey, Grace, how you doing?
We are passing a church.
A little experiment.
Ryan is talking to Grace, an actress friend of his who has appeared on this program. I don't know if she'd like her last name mentioned. We're now passing Bundy.
Joe's in the back, has a gun to his head.
And,
for the Al Cowlings part, we're now... I'm serious. He's in the back. Hey, just say hi to Grace.
Oh, okay, hold up.
Hi, Grace!
he's got a gun to his head. No one's doing anything. It's amazing.
We're on Sunset Boulevard.
One motorcycle cop passes by.
We're passing Gretna Greenway.
Just we're headed over to the OJ's now.
Speed limit here is 35 miles an hour. Moderate traffic.
You know, hopefully before we get there, we'll get some kind of activity. All right. Look,
this is a very nice house for sale from Prudential.
Okay, when we're done, I'll call you.
But who wants to buy a house on Sunset? All the traffic and everything. I can't believe anybody would want to live right on Sunset Boulevard.
She couldn't believe it that no one's paying any attention.
Okay, we're now making a right onto Rockingham. And we are in Brentwood Park, is what they call it.
Guarded community.
Gated, big mansion to the right. This is a very lovely neighborhood. And now a lot of... cars. I wonder if this is OJ's estate here. Oh, now they've got the road closed to through traffic. I guess that's to stop people from looking at the OJ Simpson house. But it looks like we can't go any further than this.
Right.
You want to get something to eat?
All right, let's get a bite, you know.
Okay, we're walking down San Vicente now. The gun is in my pocket now. Nobody can see it. Ryan's lighting up.
What do you smoke, Ryan?
Marlboro. OJ hated cigarettes.
Is that true?
Mm. He hated Nicole for smoking cigarettes. He wouldn't allow it.
You want to just sit out here and eat here?
Yeah, this is kind of great.
Okay, good. What are you going to get?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, don't you like this menu? Do you want to go someplace else?
Maybe I'll get an egg salad sandwich. Do you see something on there you want?
I'll have a veggie cheeseburger with carrot juice and a small Caesar salad, okay?
Okay.
And I'll go outside and wait for you.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going outside now. And I'm going to wait for Ryan to bring out the food. Just sit out here next to the traffic on San Vicente. All right, we are sitting here eating lunch.
It's like low-cal health food, you know. Doesn't have that zip.
No. If you eat this kind of food, this low-cal stuff, is it really worth living? You know?
Of course not. You get your poisons and your toxins one way or another, you know what I mean? If it's not in the mayonnaise, it's in the fertilizer. Look at this egg salad. It doesn't have mayonnaise on it.
It's amazing this place is filled up with people.
Why did you want to come here?
Well, it seemed like a kind of a Brentwood kind of place to go, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's like totally Brentwood.
This whole day has been a screw up, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's a total mess. This is the worst lunch I've ever had, I think. This is really the bottom of the barrel.
Sucks.
You must know, you know, he's a very genuine man. He's dutiful, and he's plaintive and fruitful.
But what sort of interest does he have? I mean, does he read? Is he interested in art?
He reads magazines. He knows Rosie Greer's work.
Roosevelt Greer being, he's a former football player for the New York Giants, is that
right? Uh-huh. He likes pictures. He has some posters. I believe he cares for them because it's not just haphazardly thrown onto the wall. It's in a picture frame. He'll take the poster and frame it, thereby indicating deep concern and care for the work.
And what are these posters of?
Well, I know one is of a Ferrari, and he has one of the 1992 Miss Hawaiian Tropic winner, which is in his den, the foyer, as he likes to refer to it when you walk in. He's a man of deep contradictions.
why are you so sure that O.J. had nothing to do with this? I mean,
because I know the man, and I know that he was not capable of a gruesome, violent, bloody double murder.
Well, what about the history of spousal abuse? Apparently, he had beaten Nicole a number of times. She'd called
police on
nine occasions.
Well, you know, it's a matter of what your definition of beating is, you know? I mean, okay, I beat Nicole because I slapped her around once. But I didn't. That was all in jest, you know? I mean, a lot of those things were funny to Nicole and O.J. It was a humorous game they played, like a lover's game.
Yeah, but if it was a game, then why would she call the police?
Because she was committed to her role. You know, it was all part of the fun.
And he, too, he was... he wanted her to call the police because that would add to the drama?
Yeah, that's why he still played it up. You know, when the police came, he still acted like an, you know, oh, I'm a mad, jealous boyfriend, husband. Mm-hmm.
But what about their divorce? Was their divorce also a part of the game? Was that also a lark?
Mm-hmm. That was a just to take it one step further, to show how committed they were, because O.J. had planned all along to announced that the divorce was just so that they'd look like a divorced couple, that they could do that. That's a role that they could play if they wanted to.
So are you suggesting that at a certain point they were going to reveal the truth, that that in fact they still loved each other and they'd just been performing this?
Yeah, that's right.
So the whole thing, the fights, the beatings, the calls to the police, the divorce, this was all part of a scenario that the two of them, Nicole and O.J., were involved in together, kind of as a team.
That's right.
What do you think about the fact that O.J. was pretty much supporting Nicole's family before this all happened? He had one of her relatives was managing a Hertz rental car agency. Another relative of hers, he had given the job of managing a Pioneer Chicken outlet, and he was also paying for the college education of yet another relative of hers.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying, you're describing the acts of a very charitable man to me.
But what happens when a man who has done these things, who has helped out the people in a family, finds his wife performing oral sex on a wealthy restaurateur? That certainly would make some people very angry when you think how much you've done for someone. And
well, there's two things.
Yeah.
One is, you know, I don't know if you've seen the porch door, you know, that he was looking through.
Yeah.
But it kind of refracts light in a funny way, so you think you see something, but then you know it's not really what you think you saw.
Mm-hmm.
So what he viewed that he thought he saw was not really something that he did see, and then he realized that. And then the other thing is...
But the man who manages the restaurant admits that, in fact, she was performing oral sex on him while O.J. was looking through the door. I mean, that's my understanding. Unless he was looking at his reflection in that same window and was misperceiving what was going on.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, in fact, there was no oral sex. It was simply a matter of two men looking at a glass door that was refracting light in such a way that they both thought that one of them was receiving oral sex from this woman.
That's it, exactly.
And nothing, in fact, was happening.
No. They was probably cleaning up from one of their charitable events. That's probably what was happening. They're leaning down and blowing out a candle. You know how that could look, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the candle just happened to be right near his...
In that frame of view, yes.
Or she could have been picking something up off the floor.
Right, there's 150 different possibilities, you know, to this. And that's one of them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what do you think about Marcia Clark?
Well, she's just like a vicious pit bull. You know, she don't have her information. She's obviously a desperate woman. And she's just clutching at straws, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She don't know what she's talking about. She don't know. She obviously not a fan of O.J. Simpson. She clearly does not like his work.
But she's interested in this case. I mean, she's not going to be... this case
well,
is not...
Well, she's also next to a great man, and she should take some time out to learn about this great man's work.
But her job is really to determine whether he's...
Well, she don't have to do it on the job. She can go home and rent a movie. I mean, she has free time, don't she?
Yeah.
Well, do it then. Learn, that's all I'm saying. Learn something.
So you're saying that she should learn something about O.J.'s football career, about his acting...
Yeah. Was Marsha Clark ever in the Tower Inferno? I don't think so, no. Was Marsha Clark ever in a commercial where she had to jump over a bunch of benches and clear them all and not have a foot touch one of them? And she did the whole thing in just two takes? No, I don't think so. Was she ever in the funny movies? No, I don't think so. Did she ever rush for over 200 yards against Kansas City, you know, in the middle of a snowstorm? Uh-uh. No, I don't think she did 1 yard.
So you think she's jealous of O.J.?
Yeah, she clearly don't respect him either. No, yeah, she's jealous.
So overall, what is your take on the pretrial hearings and this whole situation?
I think once again, okay, here we go. Get ready, United States of America and whoever else is watching, because here comes another prime-time travesty of justice, okay? Because this is another black man not getting his due in the white man's world. Because it's all these little lies and innuendo and snippety, snip, snip, snips. That's what that Marsha Clark woman doing. Snip here, snip there. It's all snipping away, cutting away at O.J. Simpson's integrity, okay? Because he's a charitable man, as I said. He's a very lofty individual, okay? And he's being made to look like a murderer. And what's really the travesty, okay, is that he's a man who's known to the world as a sharp-looking man, he's not even allowed to dress like he wants to dress. I know O.J., and if he had his way, he'd be in a nice, cool, sharp-looking, casual dress, like a linen suit, you know, with like a nice Italian shirt, and they make him dress in this like blue suit and brown suits. You know, that's like prison wear. He might as well be in prison. He can't wear what he wants to wear.
Would you say that this outrages you more than any other aspect of this trial?
This is the one that hurts me personally. This is the one that doesn't let me sleep at night, that gets me tossing and turning.
The way he is forced to dress during
the trial? Uh-huh. It's just like olden days.
In what way?
Well, you dress up your slaves in a certain way. They couldn't decide what they wanted to wear. They had to wear what the master made them wear. So that's what it's like again. They got the Shapiro and whatever the other white man's name is saying, okay, don't dress in the cool, comfortable thing. Why don't you dress in a dark blue suit and look all mad and gloomy?
It makes you angry.
Yeah, it makes me very angry. I tell you what, it outrages me. I'm deeply incensed, okay, and perturbed.
You know, I've seen him once on the French Riviera. We were down there recording an album, and...
What was he doing there?
I don't know. He was just down there hanging out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What will you do there, you know? What does anyone do there? They just hang out, you know? Or we work. We try to get some work done. But
So you ran into him?
No, he's there, and people are like, oh, that's O.J. Simpson, that's Juice, you know? And there he is, he's standing there, you know, and I'm like, there's all these women around, you know? And he didn't hit one of them. He didn't hit, nor did he yell at them or nothing. He didn't, you know, there was no anger towards the women. And he was more concerned with just being a good mate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at him in the courtroom, he's sitting there, mate. He's just sitting there, you know. And he's not trying to get after anyone, you know. And this woman prosecutor is calling him names and saying, "What, you know, where were you?" And insinuations, you know, and then the press makes such a big deal out of this.
This O.J. Simpson trial is really a major event here in this country, and particularly in California. It's the first item on the news every evening, and everybody seems to be fascinated by it. Why do you think that is?
It's like if you're in the news and you do anything slightly wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was in Canada and I had some heroin or whatever was in my bag or whatever. I don't know how it got there, whatever. And it becomes a big media. The media are like sharks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they smell blood. That's what's going on here, mate, and they're circling.
So you identify with O.J. because you've been in the heat of a media light yourself.
Yeah, man. O.J.'s in the middle of a feeding frenzy,
mm-hmm.
and the sharks are just eating him up, and he's just got to sit there and take it. Now, when I committed that little crime or whatever happened in Canada, they had me do a benefit concert, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to pay it back, and that was a lot better than me being stuck in some cell for what, you know, 9 months or what have you, making license plates or whatever, sewing buttons on shirts. And I think if O.J. Simpson is like found like he did something wrong here, even if it was just evading arrest or whatever, and he's not guilty, well, man, you know, use what he's got. You know, make him do some kind of service to make a benefit for the community instead of just paying to lock him up.
But what if he's actually killed these two people, Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson? What if he's murdered them? Are you suggesting that he should provide community service in exchange for a death sentence? Or
yeah, that's a big what if, you know. I mean, I don't know. You
no,
don't
but,
know.
Well, I'm still asking.
But,
let's say academically, theoretically.
I don't know. I mean, which is better, put him in jail and pay all kinds of cash to keep this bloke alive in his cell, or is it better for him to do community service for a couple of years or whatever have you?
Well, if your community service when you were caught with heroin in Canada was that you were
did a free concert,
then are you suggesting that he should participate in a free football game and play halfback? And
I don't know. He should. There's a million things he can do. He's an actor too. He could act for free in movies about how to be safe.
Or about abuse of women? You mean
right? He could act in a free movie or a Broadway show about don't beat people.
Don't kill your wife.
Don't even get mad at her.
Mm-hmm.
And he could travel the country with his own troupe of performers, also people who've been committed crimes and found guilty. And these people.
You mean wife abusers? That would be like a theatrical troupe of people who have abused or murdered their wives.
I mean, look, you know, you're answering your own question. A troupe of wife beaters and abusers, but they have to be actors. I mean, they have to audition for this. You know,
mm-hmm.
We can't just let anyone in. I mean, he's been in major motion pictures.
But Keith, what about the question of punishment? When a man has done something really heinous, don't you think they should be punished for it? I mean, what you're suggesting is he's going to be able to have a theatrical touring company and be able to...
O.J. Simpson Company.
Yeah, I mean, then he's going to be further glorified.
If he doesn't get a nice tour bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just like a van or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and he's got to travel and they perform outside,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's hot, you mm-hmm. know. And it's free, you know, he's not making any money off this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's not even the lead role. You know, maybe he's just a secondary character in these plays. And maybe, I don't have the whole thing worked out, you know, it's not my job.
I just wonder how the public at large would respond to that. I wonder if O.J. would even be safe. Can you imagine might happen if women,
people,
women's groups,
people angry, would throw up in arms about it, you know, they get all upset and all that.
But maybe it would actually be desirable for there to be some form of punishment. At every performance, he would be stoned,
right,
or...
Right. They'll put him in stocks, like in the old times,
mm-hmm,
and they put him in the center of the town, right? And you can say, if you want, good show, OJ, or you can say, you know, down with you, mate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Down with you, what you did. Not right. Then you got your punishment, your public excoriation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your public community service, which is for the betterment of me and you and every person that you see, right?
But if he's found guilty and he goes to jail, presumably he's going to be in jail for life, or certainly a very long time. Are you suggesting that this touring company of actors, these wife abusers and murderers, should tour the country for as long as their sentences would have been? I mean, are you suggesting he should be touring across the country for 10, 15, 20 years, or as long as he lives?
Well, you know...
Or should there be some time limit on it? Should it end at a certain point?
You know, no, like, it's up to the judge, you know, how long his sentence is.
Well, if you were the mother or the father of Nicole Brown or Ronald Goldman, how do you think you'd feel about O.J. touring the country in this kind of situation?
Well, you got to have an open mind, right? I mean, you've got to try anyways, you know, to go see the show and then make a decision, you know.
So you think that they should attend...
I mean, if it's a good show and it works, it does the makes the point, you
mm-hmm
know, then maybe I wouldn't feel like her death was in vain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because some good is coming from it.
But that's not the issue. The issue is to the relatives and those who mourn the losses of these two people. It isn't how well he performs.
Right.
It's really whether this is a just punishment. How do you think they'd feel about that?
You know, if you kill my brother or sister, I don't want to go see you sitting there living high on the hog, eating all kinds of food all day and working out like it's some kind of vacation. I mean, prison is bad, but, you know, it's not as bad as having to perform some play for a bunch of people who might not even like it and then getting reviewed and getting just ripped apart. That's punishment enough.
Have your relations with white people been, you know, disturbing, distressing? Do you feel oppressed personally in your own life, and have you been?
Yes, I'm oppressed. Every black man on this planet is oppressed. Every single one of them. There ain't nothing lucky in the world than a white American male, okay? I'm just African American male, you know? So I am not as lucky as you, Mr. Franks. I didn't have your life. I didn't have your childhood, you know. I didn't have the opportunities, you know.
But did you experience in your youth and growing up actual prejudice?
Uh-huh, several times. I still do to this day.
Well, what sort of things happen?
Well, you can understand. You get nigger this and nigger that, and boy, and...
Really? Even today? I'm really surprised. I didn't know.
Well, no, not so much today. I mean, it depends on where it'll go, you know.
I thought it was black people who used the word nigger now and referring to themselves. I didn't know that white people
used
that.
Well, yeah, that's true. We do, but that's okay, because it's a black person calling. It's like, I can't say, you Jew, you know, because that looks bad.
Yeah.
You know, but a Jew can say to another Jew, you know, do a funny Jew joke, you know, about... I can get it for you wholesale, whatever them Jew jokes are. You know, I can't do that. Jew can. Just like if you was to say to me, you nigger, I know that there's nothing funny about that. But if I say something to my cousin, I say, nigger, what's up? You know, that's different. I can do it because I'm a black man. And it's what you call a common shared experience.
What is it like to grow up African American in this country? I mean, in addition to the economic.
Well, you know that it's a unique experience, and it's certainly not being white. I don't know, you know, it's not, you're not white. You know that every day. Every day you wake up, you know you ain't white. That's very apparent. That's made apparent to you.
Yeah, but every morning when I get up, I know I'm not black. You know?
But you don't think of it like that, do you? You don't wake up and say, you know what? I'm not black today. Every day I wake up, you know what? I ain't white. I am black. You don't think of yourself as white every day when you wake up. You just wake up and go on to work.
Yeah, but you're not surprised by the fact that you're black. I mean, you don't look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm not white.
Well,
I mean,
you know
you're black just as well as I know that I'm white. I don't... What's the distinction? What's the difference?
You're missing my point.
Well, what is it?
Well, my point is, you're not conscious of being white every day, whereas I'm conscious of being black every day. You know, I'm conscious of being a black man in a white man's world, whereas I don't suspect you wake up and go, oh, you know what? I'm white today. And I'm going into a white man's world.
It's like, if he did do it, right, it wasn't OJ doing it. It was some creature inside him that he doesn't control. I mean, you know.
Well, if it wasn't OJ who committed that crime, but some creature within him, then is there some way of punishing that creature without punishing OJ? That is, somehow...
Get the creature out and put it on display,
mm-hmm.
and kill it, and ceremoniously kill it for everyone.
But what if we look at it in another way and we say, OJ is a complicated man.
Right.
He has...
Clearly.
And he has very deeply good instincts, and he's
right.
He's humane and compassionate and decent, and he has wonderful, and friends think he's a wonderful man, and he's done good things for many people. And let's say that there's another side to him,
clearly.
Which is disturbed, troubled, and was obviously enraged at his wife, and which may have led to his murdering her, although we don't know that. Now, assuming for the moment, for the sake of argument, that he did, in fact, murder Nicole, then the question becomes, if he's done so many good things and he's done this one heinous thing, or maybe a few heinous things, do you lock up the whole man for what the troubled part of him did without acknowledging good? Well then,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
you
does
know?
That suggest that the man should be imprisoned part of the year for the crime and
you
be
know,
free the rest of the time because of the good things that he's done?
I'm sorry, that's Mick calling. Hold on one second.
Sure.
I think the media is misinforming the public. They're making him out to be a criminal, and O.J. Simpson is not a criminal. I know him just about as well as anybody, and I am telling you, this is so wrong. I cannot believe it. There's no way he could have done it. He is not capable of any of this. This whole trial is just a sickening crock of bull. No justice.